on your job in your neighborhood and talk to people about the Lord. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 3 verse 1. Read a few verses here in this chapter. Acts chapter 3 verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You know, one of the things that when you read about revivals, past revivals, one of the things that was kind of a characteristic of lots of revivals, and that was the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And there was an attraction to that. There was a, it stirred up such a curiosity and an interest. And sometimes people would come just to see things happen. Amen. How long has it been since you've been in such Pentecostal church services that there are so many different things happening? I'm talking about miracles and signs and wonders that people, even the unsaved, were coming in to watch it happen, to see if it would happen. Amen. Now, the Bible says that Peter and John went up to the temple, and this is where they witnessed the miracle, the blessing of the Lord. And I know it's something, I pound on this a lot, I know, I talk about it a lot, but the importance, it's because there's such an attitude in this age against going to church. And I want to fight against that spirit, because I know personally from my own experience and what I believe that the Bible teaches, when people have an interest in the things of God, they're going to want to be in the house of God if they're spiritually motivated. Now, if you just think about it, this is Acts chapter 3. The previous chapter is the Acts chapter 2 experience, Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost and preaching. The thousands of souls that came to the Lord and came under conviction. I mean, this was, Acts chapter 2 is considered the birth of the New Testament church. The outpouring of Pentecost. All of that that took place. And so, I guess you could say, well, they've had quite a glorious experience. And they've witnessed all these people being saved. Why would they get up and go to church? Why would they get up and go to the house of the Lord? The Bible says they went at the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you can see this in several places in the scripture. Daniel is an example of one who prayed in the morning, he prayed at noon, and he prayed in the evening as well. And this is kind of a Jewish practice, praying at these different times. Psalm 55, verse 17. evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That was David talking about praying in the morning, praying at noon, praying in the evening. And so this is the afternoon hour of prayer, and they're going to the temple. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people today that are saying, well, you know, you don't have to go to church. You can have good experiences. And then I've even heard people say, even not too long ago, real recently, someone who visited said, I just had to come by and get a service in. Like, I haven't been to church in a while, and I had to get one in and be there. Well, that's all well and good, except for the fact when you have a heart after God, you're going to want to be in the house of the Lord, and that's where the blessings are. I'm not saying you can't bless and move outside of the house of the Lord, but I do know this. I know that God honors those who come into his presence, and he honors his word, and he moves in the house of the Lord in supernatural ways. Amen. Now, here's a man who is laying at the gate of the temple. He's brought there every day. That's his life. He sits outside of the temple. I don't know. I saw in this the symbolism or the picture of a crippled world sitting outside the church. Let me tell you, this world is messed up. We'll hear something come over the news or something, and we'll look at one another and say, has our world gone crazy? It has gone crazy. Everything that should be up is down. Everything that's down is up. It's just all upside down. There's such strangeness going on in the world we live in right now. It's because this world is crippled. It's crippled by sin. And they're outside the door of the house of the Lord. And God wants you and I to reach them, to touch them, and to give to them something that money cannot buy. Now, Peter and John, the Bible says he did what he did every day, that this lame man, this crippled man, what he did every day was he sat there and he said, alms, alms, give me some alms. And he would beg, and that would be his livelihood. He survived by begging for just a few things. And he sat at the temple gate to receive something. And Peter and John, they say, look on us. Now, I don't know exactly what they meant by that, but the next thing they do is they say, silver and gold have we none. So they must have been saying, look at us. You can tell we don't have a lot of money. We don't have much. Just look at us. Look on us. We don't have much as far as material goods are concerned, but such as we have. Such as we have. We give unto you. So our ministry is to the crippled of our world, the lame of our world, those that have been affected by sin, and their lives are so wrecked and messed up. That's the condition of the world right now, and we have a calling and a responsibility to them. We don't want to walk by them on our way to church and just ignore them. We want to say to them, we have something that you need. We're not going to be able to just meet your temporary needs, but we want to do something for you that will be a lasting help to you and a change in your life. Amen. That was the ministry of Jesus, was it not? That was the ministry of Jesus. Luke 4:16, he came to the synagogue where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, the Son of God, goes to the house of God as his custom was all through his early years, trained to go to the house of God. And he stood up to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them are bruised. What was he saying? The anointing is upon me to help all those that are so crippled up by sin. All those that are so lame, they're bruised, they're broken, they're blind, they're in desperate need. And so when Jesus stood up to read, and this was really the beginning of his public ministry, as he stands up in the temple to read, and he chooses this passage to let them know, I'm anointed, and I'm anointed to reach those that are broken and are lame and are crippled by sin. Amen. That is our calling. That is our responsibility. Remember when John the Baptist was in jail? He was in jail because he had told the king, you can't have your brother's wife. And so he ended up in jail for preaching the truth to the king. And so in this time that he's in prison, he sends his disciples back to Jesus to say, are you really the one that we're looking for? Or should we be looking for another? And Jesus sends a message back to John in prison and says, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. Amen. Amen. So John, when he is wondering, Lord, are you really the Messiah? Are you really Jesus? And Jesus validated who he was to John by saying, oh yeah, things are going on the way I said they would. People are being healed. The blind can see. The dead are being raised. The gospel is being preached to the poor. Everything is going right on just like I said it was. He validated the fact that he was truly the Messiah to John when John was questioning about whether or not, is this really Jesus? Is this really the Messiah? And Jesus' answer was, I am ministering to the crippled and the lame. Amen. That validated his ministry, and that validates our ministry as a church. Amen. It makes the difference that the world needs to hear and to know that the Spirit of God is still working through his body, the church, to bring about help to the crippled. Amen. Ministering to those that are in need. Sad to say, sometimes we might say, well, look on us, and they look at us and they're expecting to get help, but we don't have anything to offer them. What a sad, sad thing it is that there would be those in need and those that are crying out and those that are crippled and in such need, and they would come to us and come to the house of God here, and we not be able to help them. Amen. I understand that yeah, we're to help the poor. We're to help those that are in need. And sometimes it's hard to distinguish exactly how to do that, because we have people who on a regular basis ask for things and ask for money, and sometimes they ask for a lot. Recently, we had someone ask us for $700. Send a message. We need to pay some bills. Could you spare $700? No, we can't do that. I do know we can offer help to those that are in need, because their deepest need is that they are lame and they are crippled, and the effects of the world and of sin have messed them up in sin. Amen. My, what a responsibility. What a calling we have to people that are in such need, and they're so close. They're just right outside the house of the Lord. They're right here in our community. They're right here within our reach. And their lives are really, really messed up by sin. We need to have something to offer them. The Bible says that they reached down to him and said, We don't have any money to give to you, but what we do have, we give. And they reached down and they lifted him up. Such as we have, we give you. Amen. That's what he really needed. That was the thing that solved his problem, was he needed to experience the power of God to lift him up out of the despairing situation that he was in. Amen. Now, church is not just a place to get a little lift. Amen. If you come to church just to be encouraged or to be, you know, get a little bit of a lift, then that's not enough. You need a life change. People need a life change. They don't need just a little word of encouragement. Nothing wrong with that. But they need more than that. They need to be lifted up out of their sin. Delivered from the sin. The world provides kind of a temporary lift, doesn't it? The world provides a little temporary touch. You know, a momentary high, a momentary lift that the world has to offer. I don't want the church services here just to be a nice little experience where they come and they feel a little bit better about themselves, but when they leave. No, they need a lift and they need a change. They need the life-changing power of God. Amen. Not just lifting them up, but changing them. The Bible says that as he was lifted up, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. There had to be power and life coming back into his physical body. And so we don't want to just provide a little encouragement, just a little lift to people when they come to church. We want them to experience the power of God. Amen. To experience the touch of God. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. We're going to have it if we're going to be able to dispense of it. Amen. We're going to have something. They said, we don't have money, but what we do have, you need. We need to have something here in our lives, in our church, in our ministry. It's something that's full of power and life that lifts people up and, you know, and causes them to stay lifted up out of their sin. The Bible says that this man went leaping and praising God. Amen. He went into the temple. Leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I mean, he tore everything up. All of their decorum and all of their formality and all their religion, he tore all of it up because there had been a demonstration of the power of God. Amen. Amen. And so right here at our location in our church services, Lord, we want to be able to lift people up, but we want to see the power of God touch them so much so that their life is changed from that day forward, and that there is a praise and a worship and a glorifying of God on their lips because of what God has done for them. The Bible says they all knew who this man was. I don't know how long, but for years he had sat there at the gate, beautiful, and everybody knew it. He was a familiar fixture of a lame man, and he's, you know, it's never going to be any different. It's always just going to be like this. Some of you, you know of people like that. You know of people that are lost, and you just think, it doesn't seem like this could ever change. They're just the way they are, and we can't do anything about it. But all of those years of him being seated there at the gate, beautiful. This was the day that everything has changed. Amen. Because those two men of God, they had power with God and raised him up out of the despairing situation that he was in. And he goes walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with an emotional response to great things that God does. Amen. If God works and moves in miraculous power and saves the hardened sinner and heals the sick and works miraculously, then the joy of the Lord enters the house of God because everybody recognizes it for what it is. God is moving. Amen. God has worked. supernaturally to bring about a healing and a turnaround. Amen. We're praying this month of April that the zeal for missions around the world would also get a hold of our hearts for right here in this location. We'd have the same compassion, the same burden for those that are crippled seated at the house of God, just within our reach, seated there. And some of them, it's been a long, long, long time, and you have no expectation that anything could change. But the power of God can make a difference. The power of God can break through all that and bring about real and lasting change. Amen. Praise God. So what the world needs, they don't need just a lift, and they don't need something that money can buy. They need something that is supernatural. A touch of God, a touch of heaven. Amen. To bring about real transformation and real change. Amen. We're praying for that. We're asking the Lord, Lord, fill up our altars with people that are broken and are messed up by sin, and because we want to see life change. Amen. And we want to see it confirmed around the altars. Amen. Let's believe God and pray and touch the Lord, be used of the Lord, even those that are right here within our reach. Y'all know I'm for reaching out to people around the world, and I know that we have a responsibility everywhere around the world through missions. But we also have a responsibility to those that are seated really close to us. They're within our reach. And God, help us to have something to offer to this world that's in real need. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, your word is powerful. Your word speaks very clearly to us, Lord, about our calling and our responsibilities, Lord, in these last days. Lord, there's such a broken world around us. Lord, help us to have compassion for them, to see that was the ministry of Jesus. That is what confirmed that he was truly the Messiah, because he came to minister to the broken and to the poor and to the crippled. Oh, God, give us the same compassion, the same burden for all of these, Lord, that are within our reach, within the reach, Lord, of our church, Lord, to see them turned around, changed, saved by the power of God. Hallelujah. We believe you to do it, Lord. We're praying for you to do it. In Jesus' name,